My name is Sharon and I'm an addict.
Hey, Sharon.
And I need you all to do me a favor so I can calm down because I am very, very nervous. I need you to stand up, turn to the left and the right, and tell the person you're next to that you love them so that I can calm down and we can invite God. My name is Sharon, and I'm a Sharon.
Sharon.
Can
you get away?
Hold on. And I needed to do that. And I needed to do that for me. Thank you. I love you, too. I'm up here. I'm like, okay. I need to talk to the newcomers, so let me just be realistic. First, I want to take this opportunity to thank the program committee and the convention committee for asking me to come down here and share my experience, strength, and hope. I do appreciate the God of my understanding allowing me to be here. I got a question to ask you before I start. Have you ever had the opportunity to do something that devastates you and then pretend that it didn't happen and be in denial? By show of hands, raise your hand. I'm in the right place. I just want to make sure that I'm not the only one that think I was unique in some behaviors that nobody knew about. I found out that 1, 2, and 3 was when I woke up. 4, 5, and 6 is how I cleaned up. 7, 8, 9 is how I made up. And what I'm going to talk about today is 10, 11, 12, which is how I keep up. We're talking about the 10th step. We're talking about a little girl that didn't want to grow up, that had to grow up, and learn how to take responsibility for her side of the street. Being here 22 and a half years, because next week, the 21st, I'll have 23 years. And that's because of you all people. My sponsor tell me on a daily basis, don't you ever take any credit for anything, because you ain't do nothing. When I first got here, I thought I was in a candy store, ladies, because there was a whole lot of men. And if they were 6 feet and taller, I thought I was in a candy store. 1, 2, 3. Lemon, strawberry, licorice, whatever, you know. And then I found out that they were here to do the same thing I am. Stay clean one day at a time and learn how to practice the principles in all affairs. Talking about the 10th step is a step that means that, Sharon, you've had the opportunity to do some work. You've taken your step book out, you've talked to your sponsor, you've learned how to learn how to live life on life terms, and you can't whine anymore. You can't complain anymore. You can't say, I don't want to be bothered anymore. You can't set people up anymore. You can't pretend that you didn't hurt anybody anymore. Because what I found out in the 10th step is when you hurt somebody and you don't promptly admit you're wrong, you pretend you didn't do it, and you go about your day, you feel it in your conscious mind later on that night. You wake up the next morning, you pretend it didn't happen. You go about your day. But you still got that feeling, because you know what you did. Nobody else know what you did, but you know what you did. And then you say to thy own self, be true. Well, sure, how can you be true if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing? And you don't think nobody know about it. But the person that you did it to, that you're not woman enough to go to and say, I apologize. Because I found out in the 10th step, it's not about what you did. It's really not about how you did it. It's about how you feel now that you got to accept that it's a reality. You did this. What you going to do about it? The 10th step tells me on a daily basis that I don't have the right to hurt somebody, say something derogatory, negative to somebody just because I've allowed somebody in my space to do it to me. I found out in the 7th step that when I embrace the humility, I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable. And just because I want to be vulnerable doesn't mean that I have to step outside and make somebody else feel what I'm feeling because I don't want to be alone. I created my own conditions. So when we talk about the 10th step, we talk about me taking a personal inventory, looking inside of me. How I look, how I feel, what I'm going to do to that. Then we take that abroad. We're going to work. We late. So what? We're arrogant, so we don't care about being late. At least I got there. Should be happy I'm at work today. I was partying last night. I had time to get up for real, but I got bills, so I need to be here. But you come in the office, and instead of being grateful that God has presented you with an opportunity to work, because it's a privilege, you come in all arrogant, cute, good morning to some and to others, and go sit at your desk. Okay. Supervisor come to you, want to see you in your office. Oh, Lord, here she comes. So you get up, go in the office, put your hands on your waist. Body language. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Body language saying, will you shut up, please? I really ain't in the mood. But you go back to your desk and you sit down and you think about it. Now, when you're looking at the 10th step, you say, okay, you could have handled that better. You didn't have to go in there with no body language. All she wanted to do was ask you why you were late again. It ain't like you come in early at all. We got a project we're working with, but you late. And you late and you the leader. So what that mean about the team? Well, you so arrogant, Sharon, you don't care about the team, so now you're going to get reprimanded. Oh, now it's time to fuss. I've been here such and such and such and such and such and such and da 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 da. Bottom line is, if you wake up on time, you get to work on time, you won't have this scenario. Talking about the 10th step, I have to promptly admit the behavior. When you get here for a minute and you acquire some things, you do some things, you get some things, you go some places, you meet some people, you get the reality of understanding that now God has presented you with an opportunity to get your life back. Getting your life back, Sharon, does not mean you have the opportunity to curse people out when they piss you off. It doesn't mean that you have the right to cut in front of somebody because you're late. It doesn't mean that you have the opportunity to pretend that you all up here and nobody can't reach you. What I found out, when you all the way up here on the 12th floor and you got somebody down here on the 6th floor that needs your service just to say hello, you too arrogant to come down. God know how to just bring you down. Now what you going to do? Because you down here with me. Are you going to be arrogant? Or are you going to be humble? Talking about the 10th step is promptly admit you're wrong. When you're wrong, your body language change. When you're wrong, your attitude change. when you're wrong, you come out the side of your mouth with all kind of craziness. I like the 10th step because it affords me the opportunity to take a personal inventory of making sure that I check my attitude in the morning. And how I check my attitude in the morning is I say, good morning. I look up and I say, thank you for waking me up. Because some of us don't wake up the next morning. I've had the opportunity to see how it feels to have a loved one die. And you lost. And you don't know what to do. So when I first wake up in the morning, I say thank you. Because he didn't have to wake me up. Then I go about the day. I found out that if you can't be loving and caring in all your interactions, then you shouldn't do anything. Because if you got to be negative and nasty and mean, Sharon, just for instant gratification, then you really ain't doing nothing but hurting you. The 10th step is all about taking a personal inventory so that you can check your attitude and make sure that your day is going to go as the God of your understanding wants you to go. But of course, me being the addict that I am, already planned my day. I thought God knew because I already planned what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And of course, there's some things that I always found out. God has a sense of humor. He always put things in your path that you don't want to do, but he make you take a look at it and see if it can be an option for you to do anyway. I call it self-centered fear. It's self-centered fear because, one, you don't know what the outcome is. Two, you ain't in the mood to get it done. And three, it's going to take away from something that you really want to do. So here's the end of the day. Did I hurt somebody? Did I make somebody feel bad? Did I tell somebody off? Did I help somebody? Did I do some selfless service? When I had to do the 10th step the first time, I had to write for 30 days, every night, what I did that day. Now, in the first week, I was on a roll. But the second week, I got tired. I got other things to do. I got to see how cute I can be the next morning, what kind of outfit I'm trying to put on to pull whatever I'm trying to do. I ain't got time to be writing down no 10th step. If they wasn't in the way, they wouldn't have got told off. The arrogance that showed up. And what I say, they shouldn't be there. I found that when you have a certain amount of arrogance, then you can't be humiliated. You can't be humble because you're too high. That's what we used to call it in the old days. So what my sponsor told me to do is take a look at my behaviors and ask myself, am I hurting someone by my behaviors or am I helping someone with my behaviors? Because it's my behaviors that's going to create and dictate my actions. Sometimes my actions are positive. Sometimes my actions are very negative. However, I found out that the actions, my behaviors and actions at home are totally different than they are in the street. Now, Narcotic Anonymous, I'm this sweet little girl that y'all see up here. At work, I'm the nice little workaholic. But at home, we won't talk about that. I changed. But at the end of the day, I found out that really the 10th step is all about me taking a personal inventory. And I do it every evening before I go to bed. I just do a little prayer. Now, my favorite step is the 11th step. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. Boy, I love this step. This is the step that I understand today that no matter what, when you seeking to improve your conscious contact with God, there are going to be some things you don't want to do. There are going to be some things that you're going to be baffled about. There are going to be some things that you're going to question. But as you seek the God of your understanding, it's revealed in His time. I like to improve my conscious contact with God because of the prayer, the meditation. In the morning, meditation is first thing, dropping to my knees. I have to drop to my knees and thank the God of my understanding and give Him His time. It ain't about being religious. It's about spiritual. It's about feeling good on the inside. How can you feel good on the inside if you're so frustrated and angry about something that didn't get done the way you wanted it to get done? Seeking God's conscience, for me, can be a challenge sometimes. And I talk about it from experience because sometimes after getting up off my knees, after having this peaceful morning, my morning is disturbed. And all my peace is gone. What am I going to do? Do I retract, get back on my knees? Or do I invite myself to the argument that my mind and my body are having? What I've learned to do is get back on my knees. Start the day over, because that's what y'all told me I could do. When I sought through prayer and meditation and seek the conscience of my God and my understanding, I understand that it puts you in a place where you have to be serene. When I first got here, I was a loud, boisterous little girl in everything, doing everything. But it's 23 years later, and a lot of stuff don't really bother me anymore like it used to. I'm an addict, and I'm never going to be perfect. But what I found out is when you have been surrounded by a conscious contact of the God of your understanding, there's a certain peace that you have. And people can curse you out. They can cut in front of you. They can talk about you. You can lose your job. You can lose your boyfriend. You can lose your female friends. You can lose sponsees. But none of that matters because you got this peace. How I get this peace is that I meditate at night, like 30 minutes tops. I'll go and take a bath, or I go get a book, I listen to some soft music, and I just quiet the mind, because I found out that sometimes it's very difficult to quiet the mind because everything is going on around you. But when we're talking about the 11th step, we're talking about allowing ourselves to go to a state where nobody can get to, where nobody can interrupt, where all you got to do is just exhale and inhale, exhale and inhale. Think of something peaceful, something pleasant, and something enjoyable. Take 3 deep breaths and let it ride. When you seeking the conscious contact, you don't curse people out. People step on your toe. You look at them and say thank you. When somebody's talking about you and you know they're talking about you and you walk up and they just stop talking about what they're talking about and get into another conversation, you don't say what you're talking about. You say, how y'all doing? You know they were talking about you. But it's not important because I found out. It's not important that you're talking about me. Kind of happy that you're talking about me because that means that I got your attention. My sponsor told me early on when somebody's doing something negative, find something positive in it and you can accept it. And if you're talking about the conscious contact with God, then Sharon, you no longer allowing yourself to get caught up in chaos, drama. You don't have time for it. I tell my sponsees, if being the center of drama is going to make you feel good and give you instant gratification, what are you going to do when you don't have no drama for the day? You don't have none. So what you going to do? Do you holler and scream and make some drama? Or do you be peaceful and grateful that the God of your understanding said no drama today? You get to question that. When you have a conscious contact with God, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it comes and it goes. I have to go work for it to bring it back. And don't just stay there. Because life shows up. And when life shows up, it's all about your opportunity. Do you dug in and make it worse, or do you find a solution to ease it on out? I chose to ease it on out because I found out that arguing don't work. Trying to get my point across don't work. But saying thank you, okay, and throw your hands up, I surrender, that works. What it has afforded me to do is allowed me to see that I don't always have to be right. I don't always have to agree. And I always can keep my opinion to myself. She told me, she said, if what you have to say is going to hurt the person that you're trying to say it to, then you don't need to say it. But then I've been around here and I've been told that if you don't walk, if you don't take up for yourself, you'll fall for anything. I ponder on that. I'm not the type of person to just go ask somebody after they've told me off. Mainly, if somebody's telling me off or cursing me out, I'm going to just let them do whatever they want to do. Because I'm not going to let you take this peace that I have. It's very difficult to have a peace in the morning and then have somebody just come and curse you out and your day is just gone. When you seeking the conscious contact of God to improve it, that means that you have to accept a lot of stuff. Whether you like it or not, it's in your face. I mean, you can be thorough like I was in the street. I used to beat up boys all the time. Take their milk and take their money. Now. But now I'm a little girl. I wear dresses. I'm not a tomboy anymore. So I don't take men's money. I mean, I can, but I don't. They told me because I'm PHAT, I can just do whatever I want. But it has consequences. I found that out. So when the consequences come, do I take the consequences and run with them? Or do I take the consequences and pray and ask God of my understanding to guide me to make sure that I'm not going to hurt anybody and that the peace that I have, I still have? When we're talking about the 12th step, spiritual awakenings, practicing the principles in all our affairs, that's a tall order. Because now you're telling me that I have the opportunity to stand up here and tell you that I've experienced 1 through 12, 1 through 11. And 1 through 11 has afforded me the opportunity, equipped me with the instruments and the tools for me to say, I know how to apply the 12th step in all my affairs. I know how to practice the principles in all my affairs.
I'm not perfect. I fall short a whole lot. I've learned that I'm petty. I know I'm self-righteous. I can be self-seeking. And I'm very flirtatious when I want to be. However, if I've learned to practice the principles in all my affairs, all those defects I just talked about have access. I've learned how to be a friend. I've learned how to get outside of myself and be selfless, still selfish. I've learned how to stand up for myself and tell you how I feel without being negative and hurting your feelings. And I've learned how to embrace the newcomer and let them know that you haven't arrived. 12th step is about service to me, because it's the step that told me my sponsor, when I first got here, I had 90 days. I really didn't want no female sponsor. I ain't want no male sponsor either. I ain't want a sponsor, period. I ain't planning to stay here. I had some plans. I just came in here because the friend that I was with at that time was in here, and I wanted to check you ladies out, make sure you ladies wasn't trying to get him from me. That was my goal. However, the God of my understanding had some other things that he had planned for me. So once I got here and I understand that the 12th step was about me doing the first 11 and then 12, because I got in service when I got here. I was on the area level, the regional level, the group level, and then the individual level. I've done them all. I applaud people that can go into groups and remain humble in a group conscience without wanting to sway it from side to side. I admire people that can go to a newcomer and ask a newcomer what they're doing today and don't jump down their throat because they made a decision that they want to do something different from what I had planned for them to do. I admire people that understand that the 12th step is about applying spiritual principles and practicing them in your life, regardless whether you want to or not. See, 12th step has afforded me the opportunity to say that I don't have the right to hurt you. I don't have the right to tell you what to do. I have the right to share my experience. And if my experience is something that you see that you want, then we can go that way. If my experience is not something that you want, then I don't have the right to get all caught up and call you all kind of names because you don't want to buy into what I'm doing. 1988, we were told that you come in the room and you sit down and you don't open your mouth. Well, it has changed 23 years later almost. Now you get to raise your hand and say exact nature. Back in the day, if you had something to share, you called your sponsor. Your sponsor got all that drama because we ain't had time to listen to it. Of course, today I respect the newcomer that raises their hand at the end of the meeting and got a whole lot of drama that they're going through because they just got here. I'm not unique. When I first got here, I had a lot of drama. I just didn't get an opportunity to share it in a meeting. What it did was afforded me the opportunity to get closer to my sponsor, because that's what she made me do. She would tell me, go to a meeting, find out the topic, who spoke, let's talk about it tonight. Now, how you feel? Well, now, they don't really do that. Their sponsors today don't tell you, go to a meeting, find out who shared, let's talk about it. Something going on with you, you need to share, share now. I wasn't taught that way. I was taught that whatever's going on with you, if it ain't gonna make you get high, call me when you get home. Don't take the meeting hostage, Sharon, on some drama or some BS that you think is so important that you can't let it go. I found out that when you're going through something, you don't have to character assassinate nobody's character because you pissed off. Just because you pissed off, Sharon, you allowed somebody in your space to do it, so now you all upset, so everybody else is supposed to get upset because of you upset. Don't work that way. Narcotic Anonymous is an opportunity to have an atmosphere free from addictions. Addiction, Sharon. Drama addictions. You don't have to bring your drama in here and let everybody hear about it. It's not that important. So he left. God gave you an opportunity to be by yourself. I had to learn that. Left again. So what? Find something to do. I know today that 10, 11, and 12 are steps that you have to keep up. And why there are steps that you have to keep up? Because you're going to always find an opportunity where somewhere in that day, you're going to have to promptly admit that you were wrong for something that you did, you said, or you getting ready to do. I'm not perfect. And I found out that a lot of times, and I told them I was going to tell them, I was told that I needed to be somewhere this morning at 9 o'clock. Well, I'm not a morning person. So I'm apologizing to this gentleman that did a meeting this morning, that at 9 o'clock this morning, I was just not feeling it. So when he hear the tape, he can know that I'm apologizing for missing this meeting because I was wrong. I should have been there. But my babe wanted me more. So I stayed in my bed. Now, 10, 11, 12 are steps, and they call these steps big people steps. Because when you get here, you're grown up. You ain't whining, you ain't crying, and you're taking responsibility for all your actions. You're not complaining to anybody about what you're doing. What you're doing is calling your sponsors, you're asking them, how should you address this? 10, 11, 12 are steps that tell you that you're dealing with life on life terms. You're not coming into the meeting taking it hostage because you got to share about something that happened last night that you didn't want to take responsibility for because you was in denial of what you did. 10, 11, 12 are steps that tells you you're keeping up. Keeping up means keeping it moving. There's a saying that I've been abreast of, and it's called staying in your lane. And what staying in your lane means that you keep the focus on yourself. You don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You don't worry about how somebody else is feeling. You make sure that you keep your stuff intact so that you stay in your lane and you make sure that you're doing a proper pose. My attitude has a big impact on me staying in my lane. My actions have a big pack on me staying in my lane. And when you're doing 10, 11, and 12, you got to stay in your lane. You have to. Because 10, 11, and 12 are steps that allow you to be free. You're in a place, I like to try to always keep what I'm sharing for the newcomer to understand because they just got here. And I know there's a lot of old timers in here, but I always like to talk to the newcomer because I found out early on that when I was a newcomer and you talked over top of my head, I thought you was cute. So I know how a newcomer feel when we go up with them big words like recalcitrant. What that mean? You're rebellious. So when you're doing 10, 11, and 12, you can't be rebellious to the spirit. You have to listen to your heart. If your heart says get in service, get in service. If you need to meditate, don't make excuses. Meditate. If you've done something wrong, and you know you did it, because, see, I've practiced some behaviors, And I know I'm wrong. And for the longest time, I would not admit it. I kept going around, around and around and around, until I was devastated. God has a way of making you get on your knees and ask for help you never thought you ever want in your life. And you find yourself on your knees saying, "Help me." Surrender. Get up. Go apologize. And once you apologize, you can stand up in front of me and you can smile. Because for a long time, I was not smiling. I was so miserable. I was so unhappy. And it feels so good to go inside and know that I am happy now. I'm happy inside because I understand that 10, 11, 12 is steps that make me keep up. Now I have 5 minutes and I'm going to sum it up like this. If I've said anything to hurt you, if I said something you don't understand, if I've said something to baffle you, don't character assassinate me. Call your sponsor. Thanks for letting me share.